I want us to turn this morning, if you will, to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Appreciate you being in the house of God today. I see some minister friends in the back, Brother and Sister Barry. We appreciate y'all being with us today from down around Tuscaloosa, where I think that's where you still live, isn't it? Hey, man, we appreciate them coming to be with us today in the house of God. And we appreciate all the rest of you folks showing up and being with us. And understand, if you don't have a regular place to go, we're here. We'd love to have you part of our fellowship. Amen. Praise God. The book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right in the eye and say, Hey, he shall be great. I want to, if I will, this morning to project to you the first part of verse 32. The proclamation of the angel to Mary makes a statement, He shall be great. Amen. That's the title of the message this morning. I want you to focus on that. I mean, this proclamation of an angel speaks volumes about the child that was to be born. Amen. And you know, when you think about this child, you begin to understand that angel had a lot to base it on. I mean, this child is different than any child's ever been in this world in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I want you to notice something. This child is going to be great because, let's face it, he was great before he was. So I said, Preacher, what are you talking about? Before he ever walked on this earth, before he ever was laid in swaddling clothes, wrapped in a manger, he was. You say, Preacher, what are you talking about? John 1 through 4, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Could you say amen? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. Did you hear that? My Lord, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. I mean, he spoke it, put it all in existence, and before he ever was, he was great. Amen. I don't know if y'all understand that or not, but before he was in the life in this world, this man Jesus was already part of the Godhead, the Son of God, who was there when everything came to pass. Amen. And nobody else can claim that. Hello? Amen. You say, what are you talking about? There is nobody here that was ever here before. Look at me and smile. If you believe in reincarnation, I feel sorry for you. Amen. I had somebody tell me, I believe in reincarnation. I said, I don't. And if I did, I wouldn't practice it. I've had one trip through this world. I ain't coming for a second. Glory. Hello? Amen. And somebody said, well, preacher, I believe in reincarnation. Let me ask you something. If you believe in reincarnation, how in the world could you ever explain it? In the 50s, there was 1 billion people in this world. Now, 50 years later, there's over 7 billion people in this world. If all we're doing is recycling souls, where'd all them other souls come from? And you lose souls, because if you're an Indian, you die, you come back as a cow or a pig. So we're losing souls, but we're gaining people. That's impossible if all we're doing is just recycling souls. Hello? Oh, that's good preaching, preacher. Listen, John 1, 12 through 14. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What's that saying? It's telling just what I already said. He was with God in the beginning. And when he came to this world as a little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, he became God in the flesh. And he lived in this world, and he breathed air in this world, and he walked in this world as a human, because he came here to let us understand, I can't pay the price. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. He was great before he was. Colossians 1:16. Amen. It said, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is in the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things we might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Did you hear that? I mean, before there was a world, he was there. So before he was great. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but it takes a great God to create everything. Hello? And before he ever was wrapped in swaddling clothes, he done created everything, put it all into space. You say, can you prove that? Hebrews chapter 11. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. Amen. So we understand that before he came into this world as a little babe, he was the God that spoke everything into existence, created everything like we have it. Could you say amen to that, church? Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited to know that I'm not serving a God who didn't exist before somebody created him. Hello? I can give you the date when the Muslim religion was started, when Muhammad decided to quit selling camels and became a prophet and created the God Allah and started preaching him around the world. I can tell you the day when Buddha became somebody and people started telling you this is who you ought to follow. I can take you to the date when Hare Krishna was born. I can take you to the date when all these other things were born. I can also show you a time frame where the devil came to this world and Satanism was started. I can show you where all the other religions started. But you know what? There is no time frame as when God started. All I know is in the beginning there was God. Hallelujah. And he created the heaven and the earth. And because of that, I don't know when it started, but I know he is. And I know he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And because of that, he was great even before he was. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. My Lord, he was great in the prophecies that were prophesied about him. My Lord, Isaiah, I believe it is, in the 9th chapter, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall rest upon his shoulders, and thou shalt call his name Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So even before he came into this world, the prophets were already telling us he was going to man every job that needed to be manned to rule this world. Could you say amen? You know, church, we ought to read that sometime and realize what he is to us. Mighty God. Hello? Wonderful Counselor. Man, you ought to get a hold of that. Sometime you ought to say, oh, I need somebody to talk to. You got somebody to talk to. He's got his ears open. He's listening. I hear the word of Isaiah saying that while they're still calling, I'm going to answer. And while they're yet speaking, I'm going to hear. How about church? You've got a counselor that knows the answers to everything. Amen. It won't cost you $100 an hour to talk to him. You ain't got to lay down on some dumb couch and tell about what happened when you was a baby. I ain't never figured that out. I had one guy in class one time in a psych class tell me, said, well, you know, if somebody can prove that you were abused as a child, it'll understand why you where you are. Now, according to records today, I was abused as a child. My mom and daddy called it correction. It was called, if you do something wrong, whatever's in my hand, that's what my mama felt like you need to get hit with. I don't care if it was a drop cord or a hose pipe, a spatula. I'm just naming things I remember her hitting me with. I mean, one time I was 18 years old, I'm out of my mom and she broke a broom across the back of my head. And it wasn't one of them little bitty ones, it was one of them old big industrial brooms. My daddy bought it so because we kept breaking the brooms. She got that big one and broke it. I went through a screen door. Y'all remember when they had the old wooden screen doors with a little hook on it? I took that door out. Hit in the yard. My daddy threw water in my face, said, what's up, son? I said, Dad, I said something to Mama. He said, I told you to leave that woman alone. He said, you know you got to pay for that door. and you got to buy your mom another broom. He said, that's after you go to the tack room. I'm 18 years old. Today at 15, I'm too old to be whipped. Not if you've been at my house. My daddy gave me a choice. I could go to the tack room or I could fight a man. I knew what was in the tack room, but I also knew what was standing in them shoes in front of me, and I didn't want none of it. I went to the tack room, and when I got there, I knew he was coming after he cooled off. Like when he wasn't mad, that razor strap wasn't going to hurt. Y'all ever been to a barber shop and see that strap hanging off that chair that they sharpen them razors with? I had an uncle who had a barber shop, and he'd send them things to my daddy. And I go down there, I'm 18 years old. He comes in, I said, Dad, I'm 18 years old. He said, I understand it, son. We're going to help you get a little bit older. Took that razor strap and wore me out. He said, now you're going to understand. Quit talking to that woman like that. I could go to a psychiatrist now, and he'd say, that's why you're like you are. Why did I get an amen then instead of before? I'm worried about some of y'all. But you know, church, the reality is if you use the counselor, you won't make as much mistakes. I believe y'all talk to God about everything you do. We got folks that got married because they fell in lust, thought it was love, and 6 months later they went out because it was no real love in it. But if you'd talked to God, you might have got the right person to start with. Oh, come on, church, that's good preaching. We got some of you bought a car and 5 months later wished you hadn't bought the car because you didn't pray about it before you bought it. You just went and bought it. I'm going to move on. Some of y'all looking at me like, preacher, messing me up. But he's a counselor. The Prince of Peace. My Lord, church, next time you're all messed up, talk to him. He can solve more problems in your life in a few seconds than you are ever going to solve talking to everybody in this building. But if you'll go to God, I got a God who can speak peace to your heart, just like he spoke peace to the storm. And just as that storm laid down, the trouble in your life will begin to come down. Could you say amen? But notice this, that little baby is also going to be my everlasting father. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what the Bible said. And you know what that means? That means that he is there for me 24/7, 365 days and 1/4 of the day out of the year. I don't have a time he's not there with open arms saying, come unto me all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. But now notice this, we also have a prophecy of him coming to the world. But thou Bethlehem, in the book of Micah chapter 4, Ephrath, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler of Israel, whose going forth have been formed of old from everlasting. Amen. All of a sudden they're telling us where he's going to come from, how he's going to get there. Amen. But now notice this. This child is great, not only because he was great for he was and the prophecies about him, but he's also great in his birth. You know, when a baby's born, family goes crazy. Hello? I never forget, Alex was born. 5:30 in the morning, I'm calling folks, my boy's here. They wasn't as happy about it as I was. I had one preacher I was supposed to be preaching for him that morning. I said, look, my son was born this morning. I've been up ever since yesterday. I'm probably not going to make it this morning. And you know, he got mad at me. I mean, my son coming in the world wasn't the event that turned his life around. Hello? Oh, let me tell you, I wanted to send out announcements. Y'all may not understand this, but in November of 82, the doctors told me and my wife we'd never have children. September of 83, my son was born. I wanted everybody to know, including them doctors, that you're wrong. Hello? We didn't know nothing about these stick-em stamps that just peel off and stick on. And I didn't understand you could get a sponge and wet stamps. And I'm up in that room licking envelope, licking stamps. And by that afternoon, them dusting like this from my tongue, keep digging top to my mouth. It took a couple of days to wear that glue off my tongue. I mean, I was telling everybody. I bought me 2 or 3 boxes of them bubblegum cigars, and everybody I passed, I said, it's a boy. I've been giving them. I picked people I didn't even need. Man, here you go. I've got a boy. I want everybody to know. Some of y'all act like when your kids is born, you're just like, well, they're here. But no matter what I did, I could have never topped what happened in Bethlehem that night. I mean, let's face it. He wasn't born in a hospital. He was born in a feed trough. Hello? Well, he was born beside it and laid in it. And they wrapped him in rags. That's what swaddling clothes means. If you read the Bible in any other language, it says rags. Found that out last year when I was preaching in Honduras, and I said, they wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and the interpreter said, huh? I love her. She got a college education, but she sure didn't know what swaddling clothes was. And I told her, said, if I say something, because let's face it, church, I got words I make up. So when I'm preaching through an interpreter, sometimes they don't understand English because I've got some words in their mind. And this girl looked at me and she said, what? And I said, swaddling clothes. She said, I don't know. I said, it's in the Bible. She said, not mine. And we're right there in front of everybody carrying on this conversation. You don't believe me? Ask my wife. She was sitting there going, oh, my God. She spun around. And I said, rags. She said, oh. And she goes off running again. Everybody smiled, and they was into it again. Amen. So they wrapped him in rags. I mean, he wasn't even given a great thing. He's supposed to be king of the world, but he doesn't have a plush place to be born. Listen to what it tells us in Luke. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in a field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of God shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for born to you this day in the city of Bethlehem is a Savior. Hallelujah. Our church, I'll be honest with you. I wanted to tell everybody that my son came into the world, but can you get on God? You can't outdo him. He sends an angel down and said, I want everybody to know it's born unto you this day. And while that angel standing there talking to him, an angelic host, a choir that can beat all choirs, stepped out in the clouds and started singing, glory be to God into the highest. And man, they're singing, and I mean, son, it's awesome. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. And while they're doing that, two stars get slammed together in the sky, forming a nova right over the top of where that baby was laying. And they some wise men sitting over in Babylon watching the stars going, oh my God, it's him. He's here. I mean, they're 200 miles away. They ain't got phones, but God finds a way to tell them guys over in Babylon, he's here. I want to tell you, when he was born, there was nothing like the birth of this child. Could you say amen? Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. Listen to the prophet of the writing of the New Testament, man. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Do you realize that is the only place in the scripture you're going to find of a man being born of woman? Everybody else born to the son of man, but he's the son of woman. Hello? Come on. Think about it. There's no man involved in him coming here. Next time somebody tells you, well, he's the illegitimate son of a soldier, say, scripture said he's born of a woman. Hello? Come on, church. Use the Bible on them. They're going to try to twist it to you. Lay the truth in them. Turn around and say, you know why? Because it was fulfilled in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Listen to what it said. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Amen. How many of you took time out to watch a movie come out a few years ago called The Passions of Christ? Did y'all go see that? Now somebody said, I don't watch movies. Well, you missed something. God used this. You can say what you want to, but it was played in Saudi Arabia. It was played over in Iraq and Iran, and them goofy Muslim clerics were telling everybody, go watch this. See how they treat people. See how the Jews treat people. And you know what they didn't understand? There's a reason we had to have subtitles. They were speaking in Aramaic. Those people didn't have to have subtitles. They understood word for word what was being said. You know what just happened? They heard the gospel in their own language. Hello? Come on, church. Hundreds of people left those movie theaters in those foreign Muslim countries saying, my God, there is a Christ. He is real. Come on, church. Amen. We went to the movie house, and there was a bunch of Methodists there, and we were there watching it, you know, and I know somebody said, I don't go to movies. Well, I did, because they had it locked off. Wasn't nobody there but a bunch of Christians, and we watching that thing, and next thing you know, Jesus is praying in the garden, and we saw that picture a while ago. Jesus was praying. He's down in that garden praying, and all of a sudden, in the movie, Satan's got a snake coming out at him, trying to mess him up while he's praying. That was just a way of showing you Satan was trying to keep him from praying through. And notice what he did. He said, now, oh God, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. God, if there's any way, don't make me drink of this cup. And I ain't gonna talk about that cup, that's a sermon for Easter. But notice what he did. He finally says, no, not my will, but thy will be done. And in that movie, he stood up, took his foot, said, and he smashed that snake's head. This old Methodist boy behind me jumped up, got to dancing around and shouting like a Pentecostal. I run back to him, I said, what's going on? He said, Genesis 3:15, and I lost it. My God, right there in front of us, we saw the heel of a woman's feet bruise the head of the serpent, and I realized, my God, it's a fulfillment of prophecy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But notice this, he wasn't just great in his birth, he was great in his life. Nobody ever lived in this world like that man. Let's face it, church, that man never traveled more than 200 miles where he lived, but he changed the whole world. He didn't have education, but he staggered minds of people. The theologians in the church over there, when he's reading scripture, and they're going, my God, he's just quoting this stuff. Well, my Lord, he was the stuff. Hello? Listen to this. This is where we can hang on to the fact that he was great in his life. Hebrews chapter 4. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Did you hear what it said? I don't have a God who's never experienced what I'm going through. It doesn't matter where I am or what's going on in my life. He's been there. He's done that. He knows how to get me out. And because of that, he's not high up where I can't come in contact with him, because he lived in this world and he died in this world. I got a right to believe he can take me out of this world and give me peace while I'm here. Could you say amen? Amen. Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus went about Galilee teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and manner of diseases among the people. Did you hear that? He spent his life ministering in a way none of us could ever do it. We can only pray to get close. But now notice this. When they sent John's disciples after him, Matthew chapter 11, John's disciples are sent to him. Here's John the Baptist. And those of you that's had your faith falter on, you don't feel bad. You know worse than the folks in the Bible. John stood in the river and said, behold, a spotless Lamb of God, take away the sin of the world. But he gets in prison and forgets who he just talked about. And he tells his disciples, go see if he's who I thought he was, or should we look for another? And they came to Jesus and said, Jesus, the master wants to know, are you who he thought you were, or should we look for another? And notice the answer that they got. Jesus answered and said unto them, go show John again those things which ye do hear and see. You know what he said? He said, when they bring them to me blind, they leave seeing. When they bring them to me deaf, they leave hearing. When they bring them to me lame, they leave walking. He said, the proof of who I am is not that I told you I'm so and so. It's the fact that when somebody comes to me with a need in their life, they leave with that need met. Can I tell you, that's the same God I'm serving right now, that while he was in this life, he was healing fevered brow. He was bringing people out. Could you say amen? And how did he describe himself in Luke chapter 4? He grabs the book of Isaiah and he begins to read. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the recovering of sight to the blind. Hallelujah. And to set at liberty them that have been held captive. Could you say amen? To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know what he said? He said, I'm here to do ministry. His life was a life of pure ministry. And because of that, his life is great. But he was also great in his death. Church, everybody's going to die. Choice is, do you die in this life spiritually or physically, or are you just going to die? Hello? You got a choice. If I die spiritually, I don't have to die physically. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I may die and this body may go back to the earth, but the essence of me is going to live forever. But can I tell you, if you don't get saved, you're still going to live forever. Don't think you're just going to die and nothing else is going to happen. You're going to spend an eternity in a place where there's pain and agony and sorrow and loneliness and all the things you're trying to get away from when you get out of this world. It is appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. No matter who you are, you're going to eventually die, stand before God, be judged, but your soul, your essence is going to live forever. You say, well, preacher, why are you telling me that? Jesus came to this world to die, to make sure that he cleaned out the grave so that those of us believed in him could have a hope for everlasting life. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You see, he came to this world and he died. If you read the chapter of the book of Luke, the 23rd chapter, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Now, I read that mainly because that's the only place in Scripture you'll find the word Calvary. I got in an argument with a preacher one day, and he said, if you can't give me two scriptures, you can't use it. I said, was Jesus crucified on Calvary? He said, sure was. I said, you can't use that. He said, what? I said, it's only one time in the Bible. He said, oh, no, it's a bunch of times. I said, no, the word Calvary only appears one time in the Bible. Hello? Then he started talking about rapture. I said, what's that? He said, what's that? I said, you can't use that. He said, why? I said, it doesn't appear in the Bible at all. He said, what are you talking about? You know the rapture's in the Bible? I said, yes, I do. But you said unless it was in the Scripture twice, you couldn't use it. The word rapture is not in the Bible at all. Don't look at me like that. I'm telling you the truth. I believe in the second coming of Christ. I believe it's going to be like a rapture. But that didn't come into being until the turn of the century when some evangelical crying the coming of the Lord was like a rapture. And all of a sudden we started running with it. And we started getting rapture ready and everything. And I remember I've heard a preacher preaching on the rapture. And he started talking about the rapture. And I was getting excited. Went back and looked at my Bible. Couldn't find it nowhere. Got a Strong's Concordance down. It wasn't in there. I called the pastor and said, that dude is lying about something. Got me excited. And you know what? I found out the rapture is there. It just ain't in that word. And son, I got to reading about it, and I looked over in the dictionary, and it says, about the 34th definition says, to be caught away. Used by evangelical Christians, caught about the time they're going to be caught away to be with the Lord. But I believe the guy originally used it from the first definition, which says a time of joy beyond belief, a time of joy beyond compare. I don't know about y'all, but when I leave this world and I transform from this body to the next body, it's going to be a time of joy that ain't nothing in this world ever going to compare to. Could you say amen to that, church? Hallelujah. But now notice this, Matthew chapter 27. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ is the only known human in historical record who was ever scourged and then crucified, because scourging is to bring you to the point of death and let you go. Everybody else that was ever scourged was let go. They might die from their wounds, but they were never sent to be crucified. The idea of crucifixion was to make it last a while. They understood with the condition he's in, he's not going to last long when we put him on that cross. So he died different from everybody else that's ever died, even if they were crucified. But can I tell you, he died for purpose. He, man, you say, what are you talking about? Because he understood, I must needs die. Because in my death, I'm going to pay for the atoning grace of everybody. Amen, babe, church. By those stripes of that scourging, we're healed. By the blood that flowed from his side at Calvary, we are delivered. Could you say amen? So in his death, we have the healing. And in his death, we've got the deliverance that brings us out and sets us up and gives us joy for our future. Could you say amen? But now, church, wouldn't this be a sad thing if we were sitting here today and we were Muslim? Y'all know what happened last week. They were over in Mecca. They were over there worshiping the dead. They were crawling through the building, bumping their head on the carpet, trying to find favor with Muhammad because his bones are buried in that paw. You Buddhists, you want to go to Peking, stand outside the cave where Buddha's buried. If you Hindu, you just want to walk through the Himalayas, have your ashes scattered because that's where all your saints and martyrs are to touch your life. I got news for you, honey. My God may have died, but he didn't stay there. Could you say amen to that, church? Because he was great in his death, but he's also great in his resurrection. Amen. For the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciples to whom Jesus loved, and saith to them, they have taken away the Lord from the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Could you say amen to that, church? I mean, she goes and finds him gone. Peter and John run down there to look. Peter leaves thinking, oh my God, they've took him. I don't know what we're going to do. And the Bible tells in the 19th chapter, John seeing believed. What did he see? He saw something in that tomb that made him believe Jesus was alive. He saw the napkin from his face folded perfectly and laid in another place. And he suddenly realized he's alive, because I've seen him fold napkins before, and that's his fold. Ain't nobody folds a napkin like that. I mean, ain't no angel done it for him. He did it himself. He's alive. And he come out of there, and every time one of them say, oh yeah, Jesus dead, he said, no, he's alive. I don't know where he's at, but he's alive. Hallelujah. And next thing you know, he appeared to him, because you know why? He may have died, but on the morning of the third day, he come forth out of that grave with victory over death, hell, and the grave. You say, preach, preacher, what are you talking about? He didn't leave the apparatus untrained. He went to it himself. Amen. He done showed us, if you're dead, I'll pull you out of the grave. If you're alive, I'll catch you up with a whirlwind. He'd already done it with Elijah. He'd already done it with Moses. But he said, just to make sure it's working, I'll run through the apparatus myself. I'll die. I'll come out with victory. And now we hear the word of God saying, he is the firstborn of the resurrected. And because there's a first, there's going to be a second. And a second, there's a third, right down the road till they get to my number. And because he lives, I'm going to be able to live in him. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Now the question is, can you make him great in your life? That's the important question of this morning. Everybody keep talking about what they want for Christmas. Can I tell you, eternal life be the greatest gift you could ever give yourself? To come to know this child who was born, who was prophesied of, who was spoken of, that he was going to be great. If you could come to know him, it could change your life forever. Could you say amen? Would you stand with me all over the house? I believe with all my heart that the greatest gift you could ever give yourself is a knowledge that Jesus Christ is your Lord. And you've been washed in the blood of Calvary. That you've been made to know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is Lord in your life.